So, I learned something very interesting this week. Did you know that you can boil water without having to do anything? Right? You just let it sit there, and it will start to boil all on its own. It's incredible. What a time saver. You don't have to watch it. You don't have to make sure it's not bubbling over. It just does what it's supposed to do without any help at all. Does boiling water just boil? No. No. What does water need in order to boil? It needs heat. So, in our faith, can we just become closer to God by not doing anything? No. This past month, I would say, God's been talking to me a lot about my intentionality with him and whether or not I'm actually listening to him. Am I lukewarm? Not do I look lukewarm, because I can do so many things that make me appear as I'm on the right path. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. God is working. And yes, God is working. But am I willing for it to stop there? Or do I want to grow more? Revelations 3:15-16 says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And yeah, he's talking about a church in Laodicea. But it applies to us, right? What are we doing that God wants us to do, and what are we doing that we think God wants us to? Where does God actually want us to be? What does he actually want us to be doing? For me, a hard thing to do is read my Bible every day. It feels so mundane. But once you get into the pattern of it, it starts to pull together the story of what God has done in our lives and what he continues to want to do while he grows us. So in this week, I just want to challenge you to take a look at what you're doing and see what is for God and what is with God. And it's okay if you find that you're on the right spot. That's awesome. But if you're not, work on it. God has grace for us, but he wants us to continue growing.
Seed for her birthday. She loved her little seed and wanted it to grow into a flower, just like mom's flowers. Anna would sit and watch her mom taking care of her flowers so she could learn how to do it too. Every time Anna would sit and watch her mom would water the flowers. Anna thought, this is how I can get the flower to grow. Anna carried the flower around with her everywhere, and every meal Anna had, she would give her flower a cup of water. The flower started to grow and grew a little leaf on the right side of the stem. Anna would take little flowers from outside in the lawn and put them in the flower pot right next to her flower. Anna did this for many days, but suddenly the flower stopped growing. The flower started turning brown. When Anna saw this, she started to break down. She did everything right. She did everything her mom did, and still her flower was dying. Anna started to give up on her flower, thought about throwing it away because it will never look like mom's tall, beautiful, strong-rooted flowers outside. Anna called out to her mom for one more desperate attempt to save her little flower. Anna's mom came and sat beside Anna and asked her what was wrong. Anna started crying and tried to explain to her mom what was troubling her. My flower is not growing, she cried. I did everything you did, and still nothing I do will help it grow. What were you doing to help it grow? She asked. I watered it every time I was hungry. I carried it everywhere with me to try and give it good friends. Anna's mom smiled. My darling, she said, water is good for your plant, but too much will kill it. Friends are great for flowers because they make such a pretty flower bed. But those flowers you put in the pot were weeds. And when you watered your flower, it wasn't thirsty. You're missing a key ingredient for growth, the sun. Flowers are made to admire the sun and made so that it can't live without it. We are the caretakers of the flowers to try and keep them alive. But sometimes we just need to trust the sun to do its job. Anna looked down at the ground and looked ashamed. But my flower did get some sun. We went outside once a day for a walk. Anna's mom held up her daughter's chin and said, walks are also important. But flowers need to be in the sun longer than 5 minutes to be able to grow. Let me teach you how to grow your flower so you can learn what to give it and what to stay away from. Let me teach you the importance of having the sun and how much water can be dangerous. Let me help you give your flower the warmth it needs and deserves from the sun. Anna still didn't look hopeful. She said, it's too late for my flower. There's no way we can get all the weeds out. There is no way we can drown out all the water before it dies. It's hopeless. Anna's mom sighed and felt pity for her daughter. With work, we can get the weeds out, and the sun can dry up any water that is harming your flower. No flower can't be saved. We fight for the flowers because it's our job to take care of them, but we can't do the work only the sun can do. All we can do is trust the sun. Your flower will be okay. Anna hugged her mom and started sobbing. I'm sorry, Mom. I really didn't know. I didn't know those were weeds. I didn't know that too much water wasn't good for my little flower. It's all right now, Anna, her mom said as she pulled Anna closer to her heart. Those weeds didn't look like weeds. And you don't think water would hurt your flower. But because you asked for help, your flower can have a strong, beautiful, hopeful life ahead. Life is precious, so we have to fight for it. Anna's mom picked up Anna and started walking to the door, leading to the vibrant flower bed outside. As Anna held her little plant in her hand, her eyes started to fill with hope and joy again. I hope my flower still wants to grow, Anna said, looking towards her mom. Anna's mom smiles. You just have to be there to take care of your flower. Your flower is still going to have a couple rough patches, even though it wants to grow. You have everything you need to grow your flower, but that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. But having the sun is going to make the job much easier. And I'm here to help. Sometimes we don't have patience to sit there and wait for our flowers to grow. We want our flowers to look big and strong like everyone else's. So we take the shortcuts. We take the path less demanding of ourselves. You need to be able to put in the work to take care of your flower. The sun will never stop shining for your flower, no matter the mistakes you made along the way. By the time Anna's mom had finished talking, the flower was planted in the flower bed. The little flower was welcomed by the warmth of the sun for the first time. Just in case someone doesn't recognize what everything stands for, I'll just sum it up. Anna, the little girl, represents some Christians who just started their faith, or their faith hasn't matured like other Christians. Or even people who aren't Christians but wanted to give it a try and then gave up. Or even Christians who have been Christians for a while who get into a rough patch and give up anyway. Anna's mom represents other Christians around us who have stronger faiths and people we look up to in our daily lives. Make it seem like they have everything together. The flowers represent our faith and walk with the Lord, whether they are tall, strong-rooted flowers or ones that are drowning. The weeds infecting Anna's plant can represent the things we invite into our lives that can start to control or overtake our lives or spiritual lives. The water and how Anna was drowning her flower can represent all the little things we pick up on or activities we add to our lives that it can affect our moods and essentially make us feel as if we were drowning. The sun, I think we can guess, represents Jesus, our God, and how God, with joy, can rip out our weeds and dry up our shame, make us feel warm, loved, special, and make us grow again. It is so easy to let those weeds into our lives and start drowning ourselves out without even knowing it. Like it said in the short story, she didn't even realize those were weeds, or that the amount of water she was feeding her plant was unsafe. She didn't know any better. Anna being so young really represents how childlike we actually are, and how we don't understand everything that is happening in our lives, no matter how hard we work. She didn't realize she was doing anything wrong, and I think we can all relate to that. I think everyone in this room this morning can relate to the feelings of being overtaken and overcome by the weeds we place in our garden without even realizing it. It is so easy to invite weeds into our garden. It is so easy to add activities, even music, into our lives that have swears. And we tell ourselves it's okay, that we can drown it out. But we're drowning out the spirit. Oh, this movie only has a couple scenes. It only has a couple jokes. We can drown it out. But you're drowning out your conviction. You're going to be accustomed to these things. You're going to hear or see these things more and more. And every time you're hungry, you're going to water your plant until it's too much. I'm not saying a couple swears here and there are okay. Like a little bit of water is okay for your plant. Having activities is okay. Having friends is okay. Listening to music is okay. But when you start introducing those little things more and more, that's when you're going to feel like you're drowning. That's when it's going to affect your mood and essentially your life. Speaking from experience, I've personally invited weeds into my life. I'm the one holding the cup that's pouring the water in. And I'm sitting there watching me drown myself out, drown out my conviction, drown out the spirit, and eventually you won't hear it anymore. Your flower will be dead. We need to let God let us grow. Are you giving him the cup? Are you letting him pluck out the weeds? Are you? Jesus is coming, and it's our job to get our flower beds ready. It is our job to make sure we have strong rooted flowers that only God can pick out when he's ready to bring us home. I think on the other side of things with Anna's mom, she didn't know Anna was having trouble with her flower until she called out for help. No matter what age or family you come from, no matter how long you've been a Christian, even though you want to grow, everyone has a couple rough patches. I'm not trying to undermine your pain by saying everyone goes through it. But no matter who you are, where you come from, or your stage of life, you can be hurting spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically. And everyone in this room, it is our job to make sure they're okay, to make sure their flower isn't dying. And if it is, show them how much sun they need. Show them how much water can be dangerous. And show them that the weeds they're putting into their garden are actually weeds. We are a family, and we need to be there for each other to grow. If there's one weed, it can overtake us. We need the sun to be able to take it away. Just know you can ask for help. Just know that God wants you to grow. Just know that there are people, maybe even beside you right now, that are hurting. Just a phone call would help. Just a gift would help. Just being there would help. Just a text. I pray that you guys would invite God into your heart. If you haven't, and feel the love that he gives, I hope you leave this morning and have a deeper respect for God and patience for growth. The sun is always there, whether you can't see it or hear it. You just have to call out for him. You just have to step outside and trust him. Let God help you grow. Let me pray for you. Dear God, I pray for every single person in this room today that you'll speak to them and show them how much you care for them. I pray that you'll move people's hearts to just create such an amazing community where people can feel like they can share if they're hurting or not. I pray that people will take this information that they gather today and apply it to their daily lives so that their flowers can start to grow. Show them that you are coming and that we have to start taking that seriously. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi. So I'm going to talk about what God has been teaching me in this past season of my life, just how he's been forcing me to grow and teaching me new things about myself and what I can do for him. So like most 17-year-olds, I'm graduating this year, and I'm looking at colleges and everything. And so fall of last year, I was looking into Bible schools, and that was what I wanted to do. I wanted to go somewhere that I could really learn more about my faith and put a foundation to it and all of those things. So I was looking at YWAMs, and then God pushed me toward Cape and Ray, and I was quite confused because Cape and Ray hadn't really been on my mind before this, and YWAM was something I was really thinking about, but I decided to go in that direction because I wanted to follow God's leading. So I looked at Cape and Ray's, and they have all these amazing locations, and I felt drawn to England. So I started my application late November, very apprehensive about it, but, you know, wanting to do it. And so I got an email saying, you know, we want to take you in your application, but due to your age, you might not be able to come. So I was like, okay, God, if you don't want me to do this, then don't let this be where I go. But I felt him wanting me to trust him, to put that foot forward in faith. So I did. I applied on a Friday, and that Monday, I was getting ready for work, and I got an email. And that email said, Rebecca, due to your age, you will not be able to attend. And I was very confused. I was like, but God, you wanted me to go here. So I went to work, and I thought, and whatever. And so I was talking to God, and I just felt this overwhelming peace of God saying to me, Becca, thank you for trusting me. Now we're going to find where you're going to go. And so I started looking at more schools, kind of left it for December, and just focused on growing my relationship with the Lord and reading the Bible more and those kinds of things. And I started looking at YWAMs again, and I found this one that I was very comfortable with. I was very excited about it, but it felt almost too comfortable, like there was no apprehension in it. And I was like, this is good. This is good. I'm not scared to go here. This feels good. And so I started my application there in February. Did it really slowly because I didn't feel a yes or a no from God. So I just wanted to give him time to lead my heart. So I finished my application, and I sent out my reference forms. And then, so that took me forever. But then 2 weeks ago, my sister, Charity, brought me this other school and said, Becca, look at this. This is incredible. This is smaller. This is a music-based college, and you'll love it. And I was like, no, I already decided I'm going somewhere that I'm comfortable with and that I'm okay with and I'm not scared about. And I really didn't want to look into this other school because I knew if I really liked it, then I was going to want to change it. And I'm not super keen on change a lot of the time. So, but I did. I looked at it. And it was incredible. It was very uncomfortable for me because I didn't want to change it. I didn't want to change what school I was going to. So I did feel very uncomfortable. So I was praying and I was praying and I was like, God, I want to give this to you. And so I did my application this past week on Monday. I ended up on a phone call with them. They told me about the school and the things that they're teaching their students and what they're doing and where they go for outreach and how they reach into their communities. And so I finished my application and I sent it in. So I was kind of freaking out for a good 2 days. And I was like, God, if you don't want me to go here and you want me to look at other schools, then make them call me and tell me no. I do not want this school to be somewhere I'm going of my own thought. I didn't want it to be from me. I wanted it to be from God. So I got the call on Thursday. And they said, Rebecca, we have accepted your application. We are excited to see you in the fall. And I was like, God, that was really fast. That was really cool. Thanks. And it really changed my heart over this year of just learning to trust him, but also to move. Like, I got explained to me one time is that when a ship's not moving, you can't direct it anywhere. If you're not moving forward, you're not going to make it anywhere. God can't guide you somewhere unless you're willing to move forward with him. So that is just my challenge to you. Just move forward. Move forward and let God guide you. I know we're all in different stages of life, but there's always somewhere that you're going with him. And your relationship is always moving forward. So just let him guide you. That's mine.
Hi. Hi. This is like a wave effect. So basically, I'm just going to give a rundown like all the rest of us that have come up here. Basically, in the last couple months, God has really been talking to me in my life very strongly about the word contentment. And a lot of people know that. I've been talking about it really recently of my friends and that. It's because God has really been shoving it down my throat pretty much. It's every little thing I look now is just like contentment, contentment, contentment. And pretty much, if you don't know what contentment means, is being happy where you are, being comfortable and at peace, and not being worried about everything that's around you. And I've been struggling with that, just that one word, for most of my life. So pretty much, I'm just going to give like a rundown. A basic testimony of just a rundown of my life. I grew up in a Christian home. I accepted the Lord. I can't even remember because it was pretty young. Into my heart, roughly, I think it's around 8 or 9. But honestly, I can't remember. All I remember is everyone else was able to have juice and crackers. And I wasn't allowed to. Like, it was because I was always hungry, and I saw all these people drinking juice and crackers, even kids that were my age, and I thought it was not fair at all. So I asked my mom why I couldn't, and she told me everything about accepting the Lord and taking him into my heart and everything, and I just didn't understand it at the time because I'm a bit slow, if some people know that. So So she said, okay, well then you can't have juice and crackers. And I was furious. But what I know now versus then, I appreciate that so much, that what she did for me. My mom wanted me to truly embrace and understand what actually meant for partaking in the bread and the wine. And I'm forever grateful for what she did for me, because I didn't want to accept something that I didn't understand. At that time, I probably did, because I just wanted the juice and crackers. So, move a couple years forward to like when I was 12 to roughly to 15. I grew up a very impatient kid. I'm still pretty much impatient to a point. I like to just do things right now. During those years, I needed to know what we were doing, when we were doing, and why we were doing it. And to a lot of parents out there, you probably think that's very annoying because of a kid that comes up and goes, what are we doing? What are we doing? Why are we doing it? Why are we doing it? And you give them an explanation. Well, I don't like that explanation, so why are we doing it? So, I just want to know where I'm... Even even a week ahead, I would ask a week ahead because I just wanted to know exactly how my week was going to be. I was a 12-year-old, and I needed to know, and my mom didn't even know what she was going to do the next day. So she would get pretty annoyed at times. So basically, every day, I'd come up to my mom, be like, Mom, do we have anything planned? My mom would answer, I don't know yet. And by that response, she was thinking of something, so I'll pry further. Well, what do you have in mind? And I realized real quick that prying at a mom that doesn't know her, know what to do herself sometimes strikes a nerve. And sometimes, because she doesn't have a plan yet, and she is a little overwhelmed, and trust me, when she did have an answer, then I'd brought up the why. Because... And then my mom would be like, because we are. And that wasn't good enough for me. So I'd say, but why are we going to grandma and grandpa's? I'm just giving an explanation. Because we haven't seen them in a while. But it's boring there. Every kid wants to have fun. And some grandparents are fun, but mine were like, oh, I love you and all that. And then they'd go away and they talk with your parents. And you're stuck here in this old, I don't even know, living room with couches that sink down to the ground. And you don't know what to do. And they're like, here, have a game. And they give you this old board game that they're like, yeah, you just flick this circle thing in this hole. And this is fun. And I'm like flicking it. I don't see no point in this. So I didn't think it was much fun. I should not lock my phone. So there was just no point, and it was just boring. And a lot of kids think that, even kids now. It's, if something's not fun, why the heck are we doing this? My mom would just say, well, they haven't seen you all. Psh, I didn't care. I just wanted fun. Who cares? And me being a kid just wouldn't let her be while she was making breakfast in the morning. This whole conversation was just in breakfast. This was before she even made the pancakes. I needed a laid-out plan, and my mom didn't always have one. So, yep, I needed to know everything, and I was quite selfish, too, because I just didn't care. Everything needed to benefit me. Push a couple years further, I'm in high school. I transferred to Worsley because the school where I went to didn't have high school at the moment. Kind of sucked because right when I went to Worsley, and I went grade 10, and then I went to 11. Then they're like, oh, yeah, now we have grade 10 there, in my hometown. I'm like, great. Can I come back? No, we're just going to introduce 1 year at a time. So you can't come back. I'm just like, what the heck? So it was kind of a bummer for me. But I transferred to Worsley because mine didn't have one at the time. I didn't realize it at the time that I was going to be tested so hard in my faith in those couple years. My original school, we all believed God was real and he was the one and no one questioned it. We didn't really have conversations about it because everyone just was taught that way. But here in Worsley, it was filled with more than just people who were believers. So you start making friends, having a blast. You don't even realize little habits of these people rub off on you until it's a little too late and you started to commit sin on purpose without even knowing it. I cursed more frequently, I talked more sexually also, and I was driven and thought of girls more and more than just having friendships and with marriage about them. So at the time, I didn't know anything was wrong because I'd never really dealt with these problems in my life at all. At this point, my questions I asked all the time when I was kids grew exponentially bigger. I started questioning God the exact same way as with my mother. What, where, why, and the why was the biggest part. I'd get answers from God, but why? God, I needed to know more. I never doubted that he existed, but I doubted his methods of how he did things. I always thought there were flaws and things you could tiptoe around because lots of people didn't have the answers I wanted then. And I made mine own up. I never truly trusted he was working in me and had a laid out plan already made. But my patience couldn't wait for answers. So my faith started to crumble and got flipped upside down. I never listened to the message in church. I didn't care about singing, didn't really care about youth group at all, till grade 12 hit. Didn't have a lot of classes in my second semester. It was pretty laid back. So I got a job in Cleardale, being a caretaker, which pretty much you just mow a bunch of lawns, which is nothing wrong, just saying, the Clarks. And as I had more free time, the Zacharias family showed up. So pretty much Tommy, Joey was in Worsley, so Tommy and Benji started attending, and most of their family attended too. And they were burning hot right off the assembly line for God. I was intrigued with this newfound feeling and desire they had. So as they came to church more and I started to hang out with them more, I started realizing they were more like me than I realized where they came from, asking all these questions. But the way they looked for them was different. They had questions on certain things. They'd go to the Bible. And at that point, I'd probably only read the Bible like 10 times overall, on purpose at least. The stronger desire they had was appealing, because I'd never seen in someone my age, as I was hanging out with them, I saw their point of views and where they came from and realized they didn't grow up in like a Christian home like me, but we still lived the same life. That hit me hard. So the wall I was building without God crumbled right there. I knew everything I was doing was a lie. And the first block was set down for him, for God. After that realization, I was on fire. Me and Benji did everything in the next couple years. And I mean everything. We'd make a plan. We'd always be like, hey, Benji, you want to come with? We didn't spare no details. We would have arguments, and trust me, we had arguments. We had debates about the Bible because we both came from two different, very different standpoints. And having two strong-headed people, when you get some sparks and eventually a fire. But our car talks were the best. I got to see someone else's point of view finally, and honestly helped me grow to be the Christian I am today. But to be honest, I said I was a Christian when I was 8 or 9, but I think I truly accepted God into my heart when I knelt down one of those days and gave him the steering wheel. And I got baptized when I was 18. That's when I truly took that leap of faith, because I finally understood, who cares if I'm not ready? Who cares if I'm scared about the future? God has a plan for me. So my description for my baptism was, I took the leap. I took a jump. And trusted that God had like a mattress, or probably something bigger for me, more like a high jump mat or something. But that's when I first experienced the fire for the Lord. And I mean the first time. I never had experienced the way I felt that day. All of his glory and my whole life got flipped right side up. So, and here I am today. Still struggling, of course, having my ups and downs like we all do. But with that assurance that he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he is the only one for me, and he is the great I am. I love going back at my life and seeing all the things I did then, and even remembering what I thought. And I can remember pretty vivid thoughts back then, and comparing it to now. I realized that growing up, you're not content with your life. You're growing, you're knowing more, and we crave more. Till we grow up and start slowly realizing that living in the presence and in the now, every single day, is more important, and that knowing that God has got a plan for us for the next day and the next and a week from now and even a month from now or even years. Of course, we make plans on a regular basis, but don't be stressing over them. We create anxiety and all these other emotions too much in our lives instead of being content that God has a plan. We don't even realize it at times. And I'm at fault of this a lot, and I mean a lot. We don't even realize that in these moments of anxiety, we are not trusting God. We think we can handle it ourselves, and we don't. We don't believe in Him, that He will help. We need to pray and let Him do His work and be content with His plan. In Job 36:11, I need to just go there. Job 36:11, it says, if they obey and serve Him, they will spend the rest of their days in prosperity and in their years of contentment. And I am not there at all. Apparently, I thought I was seeking joy. Apparently, I haven't had joy this whole time, so. We think lots of times everything needs to be figured out right now. We make life harder when we exclude God from situations, because when we do, we get into a bigger problem than we had hoped for. And then we pray to God when we finally just can't do it anymore. Which is good, but we should have given Him trust and control in the beginning, and we could have avoided all of it. God gave us free will. We ain't no slaves to Him. I don't know why I wrote it like that. But rather, we are all His children, always asking who, what, when, and how questions all the time. We very much are like the same as our kids that we have now. Well, I don't have kids, but you guys. I forgot I wrote that. We very much are the same as the kids around us, but with lots of bills. The way kids are with... Oh, I wrote this wrong. The way kids are now, with how they want all the things all the time, is the same as how we desire so many things now. But the things we want and desire are different depending where you're at in life. Because kids at their young age want toys and having like the best toys and all that until they break. And when we get older, we want the best truck until it breaks. So... The want for the Lord, He is the stable and never changing, and He will always be there. That's the one thing that never gets old and doesn't break. And He's something that we can rely on 24/7, day and night, throughout all the seasons. We as a church body, we all have that one similar desire. And what's that desire? I'm asking you guys. What's our one similar desire? God. Jesus. And that's what binds us together as a family. I like to kind of make a reference because I kind of realized it this morning. So we call ourselves a church body, right? It's like body of Christ and all that. So I was labeling people, not labeling certain people, but labeling people in our church like where we'd fit. And I said, who would be the heart of our body? I'm asking you guys again. God. God would be the heart. Who would be our head? Who? I was going to say the pastor, our elders, because they're the ones that make the decisions of us, and they speak for us, and they make all the decisions. I say the arms are like our young adults or even older people that have the desire to reach, to go out and do missionary work and spread God in our communities. Then we have the other people. I don't want to say it's bad, but the people that move, the legs. Without them, we wouldn't move anywhere. The people that want to do missionary work and all that, they can reach, but they wouldn't be able to actually reach it. We need our body of Christ. Every single body part has a specific role in the church. Each one of us is as important as the other. Most people come to church and they go to church, they listen to the message, and they leave. It's like, that's all. But every single one of us, we're important in our own single way. Each person has different desired traits that God has possessed, has given us. So I think in that way is, I thought it was amazing, because just knowing that without one or the other, you wouldn't be able to do what you wanted to do. The arms couldn't reach anything, the legs couldn't get anywhere, and the head would just be speaking out to where whoever, no one's around, so they can't get to them. So, and the heart, everything goes to the heart, to God. We're all connected to the heart. If we don't have the heart, we wouldn't be moving. We wouldn't go anywhere. So, we as a church especially have those moments when we think for ourselves and we don't let God lead us 24/7. And we think too much sometimes, and we think of the consequences, and we halt, and we become stagnant. Every church does have their ups and downs, but it's our job to get it moving again, to be on fire for the Lord. Heck, what's the reason we shouldn't? None. There shouldn't be one. Being a church body means every single one of us has an important role to fill, no matter what we think. I think lots of churches forget that and rely on the head too much to do anything, and we forget that we actually got to move to get anywhere. We are one body. Why don't we start acting like one and stop stressing about the future and truly let God take your hand and show us the way He is intended for us? So, thank you.
Yeah? Who was encouraged by that service? I know I was, yeah. I'm just going to do something really quick. Can I get everybody over the age of 25 to sit down for a second? I want everybody in this room, kids included, to stand up. I want everybody to look at the amount of young people that are in this church right now. It is actually huge. And in my time in missions, I got to see God move in young people in a way that I had never seen before. I got to see parents and families, grandparents, people of all ages supporting the young people in their dreams. And I got to see that in this church today. And I'm so encouraged to see the amount of people in this church serving God with everything that they have, including the young people, when it's so hard to find core young people today who actually dedicate the time to follow God in everything that they do. It blows my mind, honestly. It makes me want to weep, because I see a group of people in here that I haven't seen in a long time. And in the midst of so many things going on in this world, there's people underlying that are standing up in their faith, standing up and facing temptation and rising to the challenge and saying, no, I'm gonna be different. I'm gonna be a part of a change. I'm gonna see God move. And it is changing our world today. And I want everybody, parents, grandparents, whoever you are over the age of 25, to stand up right now and stand with the young people as we pray.
God, we just want to thank you for your presence this morning. God, for the holiness that has been brought upon us today. I right now am full of shivers and goosebumps just to feel you this way again, God. God, I want to thank you for the people in here that have the courage to step up, to show that their faith is worth dying for and that their faith is worth stepping out and not being caught up in social norms. God, I ask that you will be with the people here today, and as our church body grows, as our young people grow, that as we step out of our church into our community, that our church will continue to grow, that we will draw more young people in, that our church will not die off in this generation, but that this church will carry on for generations forth. God, when I first came here, this church had a youth that was falling apart. We didn't have a youth group. None of the youth really knew each other very well, and today we see them leading a church service that most youth don't even attend to. And to have them lead it and do it really well is so amazing. And God, I want to thank you for the gifts that you have given to every one of them and the way that they show their strength in their gifts with the talent that they have in them. God, I just ask that you will bless those people, and I ask that you will be with them that as they carry their faith on. In Jesus' name.
I'm going to do a quick prayer too. God, I just want to thank you for this church. I want to thank you for the love and the support that I see in this room. God, I pray that you strengthen each and every one young person in this church right now, in their dreams, in the things that you have planted in their hearts for their future, to make you known, to go out, whether that is local, whether that is in your school, whether that is overseas, wherever they are, that you have given them a dream from young age, from the time that they're 2 years old, to make you known, and that they are obedient to that. I pray that you strengthen this church and you raise up this church to be an example in this community, to stand on what's righteous and what's right. God, I pray for the parents in this room and the grandparents to see the dreams in their kids, that they can encourage them and challenge them to move forward in those dreams, God, that they're able, like Emma was saying in her spoken word, to come alongside and challenge that growth and to never undermine or diminish the dreams in this room, that God, there's so many things that you have planted and that I would love to see grow, and I know so many other people in this room right now. I pray that you are encouraging the body of Christ, and the rest of this day is so, so good. I pray that we take from this day forward, something has shifted in our hearts, that the eyes, ears, and hearts of everybody in this room have been open to hear the truth and to see the joy and step forward and support our young people in a way that hasn't been done before. I thank you so much for this morning, and I pray that the rest of this week is great. In Jesus' name, amen.